Sometimes we as Christians can feel overwhelmed or under-equipped when thinking about taking the gospel to those that are around us. Sometimes we're not sure what to say. Sometimes we just look at all the needs around us. It's just overwhelming. And what we want to do just for the next three plenty and 20s is just give us a little bit of a grid to work through. Give us a little bit of a strategy. Give us just a little bit of a mindset that helps eliminate some false guilt. I mean, we could some of us we get burdened about everyone and we end up reaching no one. We're just like, there's all these lost people. There's all these people with needs. I mean, I just flew in to Salt Lake last night about 10:30, and hey, there's all the lights. There's a million people. There's 2 million people if you include, you know, Provo and Ogden, and you just think, and what, there's going to be 70, 80 people here today, and then, you know, you even just start thinking of the other churches. I mean, we got another church that meets over here, and maybe they've got about 100, 200 folks, and you start thinking about the other churches, and you just think, wow, I mean, who are we really meeting? Who are we really reaching with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And yet it's really God's work, and we just want to figure out, how is it that we can participate in what God is doing? Where's God placed me? Who is it that God wants me to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And so what we want to do is just ask some questions. And really the first question is to ask ourselves, who has God placed into our life to reach with the gospel? There's some other questions that we're going to try to address as we just talk through this. And one of those would be, what's the mindset of those that God's called us to reach? What is the gospel? How should I communicate it? And what's my plan to reach those around me with the gospel? So who has God placed into my life to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, we have two different communities of people, and it'd be great if some of this lingo was to start to filter down into how we think of doing outreach at the church. And so if we're thinking about those that are around us, there's people we don't know. That's our geographical community. And then there's the people that we do know. This is our relational community. And so our geographic community are the people that just are around us. Relational community are the people that we have, we really know. Over the past 50 years, there's been really emotional pleas to reach one community at the expense of others. And so this usually came out in methods. And I don't know what your background is in Christianity, but for some, it was like the only way you could reach out to people is that you'd have to meet at the church on Thursday, and then you'd all kind of divide up, and then you'd go out and you knock on the door, and then you have some diagnostic questions, and then you'd say, so if you died right now, would you like to know for sure how you could spend eternity in heaven? And that was the in vogue way of reaching people with the gospel. But then there was kind of some reaction to that, and then there's some folks that it's so relational that it's almost like you've got to be friends with somebody for like 6 months before you can even say the name Jesus. And it's really, you have this false war. It's not an either or, it's a both and. We ought to be just consumed with just the gospel. We ought to just be thinking, you know, who is a stranger I can meet that I can just let them see the gospel? Who has God put into my life? What's a relationship that I need to speak the gospel? It's not an either or. It's not a false battle, because all through Scripture, and we're going to see this, there are people that were reached with the gospel that did not have a previous relationship with the one that shared the gospel. And then there were people reached with the gospel that were heard the gospel through a relationship. In fact, let's just do a little informal survey. How many of you were reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ by somebody that you did not know? Would you raise your hand? Just kind of curious. All right, about 3-4 of us. How many of you were reached with the gospel by somebody you did know? Would you raise your hand? All right, now that stat is about true. It's maybe it's a little bit heavy on the relational side for this congregation, but as we do this, and I ask that question all over the United States, you know what? It's about an 80-20 percentage. About 80% of the people I talked to were reached by somebody they knew, and 20% were reached by somebody they did not know. Like myself, I was reached through the ministry of my pastor, who was preaching faithfully God's word, and through the ministry of my parents. That's how I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But my mom, in contrast, in Boise, Idaho, there was a knock at the door, and there was a pastor and a deacon, and they said, thanks for coming to the church. We just wanted to know if you knew how you could spend eternity with God when you die. And they walked to the gospel, and my mother put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ on her front porch. And you know what? It's not an either or. It's a both and. And there's just people that God puts in our life that they've been hearing the gospel all sorts of different ways, and we just happen to be there, and we're just kind of sharing our faith, or we're just talking about Jesus. We're just have you ever been in a circumstance where it's like you're just trying to like get by with, you know, like kind of show you're a Christian, but you start having a conversation and you know the Spirit of God wants you to give the gospel. You know, you were just another link in the redemption or the chain of the redemption of God. God is the one at work. We're just doing our part. God's got a plan to this whole thing. So generally speaking, sharing our faith with somebody we don't know is a little bit easier, isn't it? But sharing our faith with people that we do know, it's actually a little bit more effective. I don't know. Does anyone have any relatives that they really don't want to hear the gospel from you again? Me too. May I get off the plane? I'm going to do my grandma's funeral. And I'm just like, they look at me and they're like, oh, it's the preacher. I'm like, yeah, you know, and we start having a conversation. I start going with the gospel and my uncle literally goes, But you know, last night on the plane, I'm typing some of the things for our midweek community group discussions. And the guy next to me goes, hey, I got a question for you. Are you a pastor? You know, I was able to give him, like, the gospel real quick. I mean, I was just able to, like, just unfold stuff. And it wasn't even, he goes, oh, okay, all right, that's nice. You know, he really wasn't interested. But have you ever found it's easier to give the gospel to people you don't know? Easier to give a tract to somebody you don't know? And it's, but it's a little bit harder to people we know, do know, but actually we're probably most effective with those relationships. That's why it's not an either or. It's a both and. And you know what? This guy, this random guy, I have no clue what God's doing. I don't know if he's got a relationship with somebody else. I don't know what's going on. I just want to do my part, right? So as we look around us at all the people, we want to eliminate this false pressure of we're burdened about everyone, but we're actually reaching no one. And the way we can do that is to begin to think about really the communities of people that live around us. We have our geographical community and we have a relational community. And so let's break those down. Our geographical community, those are people that we don't know personally, but they live, work, play around us. They're people who live within a reasonable driving distance to your church or walking distance from your home. It's just it's just the context of where we live. Examples from scripture. Somebody tell me some people that were reached by somebody they did not know. All right, just shout it out. Who are some people that are reached? Yes. What? Okay, your uncle. That's somebody you know that you're burdened about. All right, that's great. Anybody have a Bible example of somebody that was reached that by somebody that they did not know? Yes. Okay, Rahab, okay, yeah, Eli, Lydia, all right, from Thyatira, all right, somebody else? I'll kind of get the pump going here. Jesus and the paralytic man, Jesus and Zacchaeus, who else? Can you think of any? Cornelius, good. Somebody else? Great, Ethiopian eunuch, got him. Who else? Got any more? All right, let me just give you mine. Jesus, Nicodemus, Jesus and the woman at the well, Jesus and the man born blind, Jesus and the Ethiopian, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, Paul and Silas to the Philippian jailer, Paul to the men on Mars Hill. These are all people reached by people that they did not know. Do you know one of the most exciting studies, one of the most exciting things was to just read from Matthew all the way through the epistles and just try to underline every time the gospel is given. It was a really helpful study. I mean, that would be a real good devotional thing for you to do. Just go through the New Testament and realize it's not an either or, it's a both and. These are all people reached by people that they previously did not have a relationship with. So let's just think through, what are some of the people that are really in our geographical community? I think a Gospel Grace Church. Are we trying to reach people in St. George, Utah? Yes or no? No. What about Twin Falls, Idaho? No. I mean, do we want people there saved? Yes or no? Yes. But our geographic community, in fact, you know, as we start to think about our geographical community, I mean, it's the Salt Lake City area, but it's really right now, it's kind of focused around people that could come to the U, isn't it? When we think about a corporate evangelism right here, it's people that can come to this building. That's kind of who we're really targeting, or people that are around our homes. That's why we have our community groups, because all of a sudden that opens up another genre of people, doesn't it? And it opens up another locale. It opens up another area. And so that we've got some community group that meets down in Cottonwood Heights, and there may be somebody that, well, for whatever reason, doesn't really want to come all the way up here, but just might come to that community group. Or we think of in North Salt Lake, there's some people that Pastor Lucas is working with at the base that, well, maybe they would come to a community group in North Salt Lake that wouldn't come all the way down to this building. And so we've got a geographical context. And so I think about where we live. We live, 1469 Vine Street, and we're kind of like right between Murray and Cottonwood Heights and Salt Lake City. And you know what? I'm just thinking. There's a couple that lives right across from where our trailer's parked, and I'm thinking I need to go across the street and talk to the guy about getting our trailer out. I think that's a good relationship, and so I'm just starting to think, who are the people that live right around me? And you know what this does? This starts to eliminate the burden for everyone, reach no one. You know, as I grew up on 1336 Poplar Street in Twin Falls, Idaho, there were 18 houses. There were 35 kids under the age of 18. That was the houses that I should be most burdened about. I didn't know anyone on I knew two people on Maple. I knew no one on 9th. Our street teed into Elm, busy street of Locust. You know what? If you were to ask me, Will, what was your geographical context in Twin Falls, Idaho? It was those 18 homes. Do you believe that God has put you in the house that you're supposed to be in? Whether you're renting or you're buying, is that where God wants you? Well, don't you think that's where God's got you? Those are the people that God wants you to be burdened about. Your work context. I was thinking of a man in your church in Wichita Falls. He said, do you know who my geographical context is? He said, every 6 months I get 32 new recruits. Those are the people God wants me to pour into. How many of you in your work context, you can think of 1, 2, 3, 4 people that immediately, those are the people God wants to be most burdened about? You see, it could be that you've got an actual physical place that you go to work, or it could be like Pastor John. He ends up camping out at Salt Lake Roasting Company a lot. And there's some specific relationships that's who God has him burdened about. I think of Matt as he's been working at Chick-fil-A, and that's the context. Those are the people. You know what? There's a Walmart over there, isn't there? And there's a Home Depot over there. And you know, those are some people that need the gospel, but are those the people that God has put into Matt's life? No, it's those people that are working at Chick-fil-A. And what's going on is all of a sudden we want to get out of our brain this thought process that you know, all these people, and eventually I'm going to talk to them. No, who is it that God specifically has put into your life? He's put into your work context. He's put into your social network. You know, I'm coaching soccer. So don't you think that God in his sovereignty wants the gospel to go out to those people from Will? We're just take your context of where you're at. Who are the people that are around the church? Who are the people around my home? Who are the people around my work? Who are the people around my different social things? Those are the people that are in my geographical community. Those are the people that I ought to be burned out. So what's my responsibility? Well, it's to be involved. Great Commission living means go into the world. Don't be of the world, but be in the world. Don't hide. As our culture becomes more and more anti-Christian, the temptation is to hunker down, isn't it? We can't. We have to be first responders. We got to be okay with getting hit. We got to go be okay with being rejected. We've got to be okay. And we need to. I'm so glad Jesus didn't hunker down in heaven. I'm so glad that when people started rejecting him, he didn't say, you know what, I'm out of here. This Garden of Gethsemane thing with nails and stuff, And insults too. Oh, I didn't know there was insults. No, it's be involved. It's actually being proactive, actually modeling the gospel. It's just letting your light so shine. You're just like a city set on a hill. You're just You're just wanting that there should be something different about you, and something different about you that cuts through the moralism that so much of Salt Lake City sees. They see someone that smiles and is polite and is, you know, is does everything with, you know, right ways, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's religion. No. Do you know that the gospel cuts through even religion? But then love and serve, and that's where it does. I was on the plane and yesterday, and there's a man that was very religious. He just out of the blue asked me if I was LDS, and I said no, I'm not, and he was, and I thought, even in this context, how I love and serve, how I treat flight attendants. Do you understand that everything we do is an opportunity to showcase God? We had a cranky, elderly Italian neighbor. Those all three don't have to go together. He would pull up to his fence. He'd honk on the horn till I came out of my house to take his groceries inside. And then when I was taking his groceries, he wouldn't say thank you. He'd say things like, "Now take out my garbage too, Willie." I hate being called Willie. I'm 15 years old. I just was so angry with this man. And every Tuesday, my dad would go cut this man's yard for free. I remember one time saying, "Dad, what in the world are you doing? This guy treats us like trash." Come back from college. 5 times I took Louis Basso out to eat. 5 times I gave him the gospel. 5 times I told him about Jesus Christ. And you want to know why he would go out and listen? Not because the way I treated him, but because the way my dad treated him. He loved and he served. But then pray for open doors. Colossians 4 talks about this. You know what? I've just been so convinced that, you know, this kind is not going to come but by prayer and fasting. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he would talk about the demon being in too deep. And you know what? This is a very oppressed city. The demon's in too deep. We're not just gonna crank out what we used to crank out in other geographical locales. This isn't the South where people grew up hearing the gospel. This is a very hard city. The demon's in too deep. And you know what? Let us weep over neighbors. Let us pray over people. Let us pray for miracles. When we're thinking about going out, it's like, okay, God, where do you have me? Who should I be sharing the gospel with? But let's pray for open doors. But when those doors open, may gospel grace be a people who are bold, not brash, not rude, but full of courage. That grace-filled courage that when God opens the door, we just with love and tears share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then target specific members of your geographic community and bridge them into your relational. In fact, how many of you, by God's grace, there's people that are around you that over this year you've begun to make relationships with? How many of you have some folks like that? You know what? That is awesome. In fact, as we're talking about Gospel Grace Church, the 3 weeks right now, you know, it's so encouraging to hear some of you talk about how some of you say, "Hey, I've got a friend who I've been trying to get out to these 3 weeks." Do you know what? It takes a long time to make a friend. Because guess what? We're not just using these people. We're actually loving these people. We're not just being their friend to drag them to church so I feel spiritually successful, so that God now likes me because I'm doing evangelism. We're actually loving our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. And then what's really our relational community? Let me just rush through some of these things. We've got about 4 minutes here. These are the people that we know personally. Most estimates we know 75 to 200 people, not Facebook friends. Coworkers, relatives, people we share things with, jobs, money, fun, experiences. These are people that already know us. This is people that when we present them the gospel, there's probably a little bit of a hearing that they'll give us. Examples from Scripture, we don't have time for you to shout them out, but just look at this list. Matthew with his former coworkers, the demonic man going back to his, that word just messes with me. He goes back to his home and he starts telling everybody, and everyone's like, "Wow, what just happened to you? You got clothes on." Andrew to Simon Peter, Philip to Nathaniel. The woman at the well, she's already burnt through 5 relationships. She's living with a guy, and she goes back, and everyone's like, "Okay, you must have met Jesus." Philippian jailer to his family. Do you know what the really neat thing about all those is? I did this on purpose. Many of those, that there was a relationship, there was somebody that they did not know that gave them the gospel. There was change, and then that opened up a whole nother node of evangelism. Do you know that's how God works many times? In a city like this, we're looking for a node. We're looking for somebody that just hears the gospel and then has a bunch of other relationships with the gospel. Identify the people God wants you to specifically target with the gospel, but then what's our responsibility? Maintain redemptive relationships. Is it always easy to stay friends with somebody that does not know Christ as their Savior? Yes, no? It depends on what cycle. I had a friend who I've been giving the gospel to since I was 16, and this is the cycle. We'd go skiing, and then somewhere in there, we start talking about religion. Then we start talking about the exclusivity of Jesus. And then he'd get mad at me. And then 3 months would go by. He wouldn't talk to me. Now we're canoeing. And we're like talking. And now we're talking about religion. And then we're talking about the exclusivity of Jesus. And then he'd get mad at me. And then we go, and now it's fall. And now we're shooting something. And we talk about religion, and then the exclusivity of Jesus. And then he'd get mad at me. And then we wouldn't talk till Christmas. And now we're skiing again. Oh, I said to him once, I said, so why do you keep on, we're at the same place. This has happened 10 times. And he says, well, you have a joy that I don't have. I said, we can talk through it again, but I think you already know. And you know, sometimes we as Christians, we do really bad at being friends with unsaved people. Really, really bad. It's almost like they have to look Christian before we'll let them be friends with us. I mean, do you have anybody that you just love with all your heart and like you really like and they're unsaved? Do you know it's okay? In fact, it's probably good, because then it means you actually love. You're not just looking at them to use them so you feel accepted. It's actually where you're maintaining a redemptive relationship, modeling the gospel, loving and serving, and really then proclaiming the word when the opportunity comes, but then praying that the word would work. You know, as we're looking just to start and set this all off, and then we're going to close, I just want us today to think about, what's my geographical context? We kind of know what gospel grace is, but what's your house geographical context? What's your work geographical context? Who is somebody I could bridge from my geographical community, bring them into my relational community? How is it that I can involve them in sessions that involve the Word of God? And how is it I can love them no matter what? And then may God give us the grace to weep over people in Salt Lake. And to that, all God's people say, let us be brokenhearted. Let's just not move here. Let's not just live here. Let's love the people of Salt Lake.